you know, and let's face it, in this, you know, day and age and time where there's just a lot of crap going on and a lot of negativity, I mean, this is kind of like an oasis, you know, for a day or a weekend. It's just a cool place where everybody gets along and has a good time and supports each other. And I mean, you make friends. I mean, I've seen so many people make lifelong friends by meeting at races, you know, and we give them that extra opportunity because of our festival and the fact that people are hanging out.
Oh boy, what's the opener? Last time was gooning and edging. What's the?
I don't have any. I don't really have much internet slang for you today.
No good openers, huh?
Not really. This is like when we're filming the pickup interviews.
My brain feels right now like it felt when we were filming those interviews. Just there's no words formulating in my brain. Just grunting noises, just like caveman, like
auga.
Well, maybe that was it. Maybe that was finally the intro.
We're in it.
After like multiple minutes of staring at each other, figuring out how to enter the podcast, we're now
what's
in
the
podcast.
Yeah, what's the entry version of the Midwest goodbye? It's the Midwest hello.
Yeah, you want a perfect hello and you can't think of the way to say it. So you just keep mumbling
yeah. And then you just start
caveman each other.
And then you just start recording eventually.
Oh, baby, we're back. We're back for an episode that is Beer Mile related, as is
probably long overdue,
as is expected, as the Beer Mile podcast, I guess you could say. You know, we're how many days out? At the time of this recording, we're like 5 days past the World Indoor Track now. So like, we're kind of like, I feel like all the hot takes have kind of been out there
probably
on that. So probably don't need to dive too much into that. If you want our opinions, you can email Adam.
Yeah, Adam. Just honestly email us if you want, and we'll Chris and I will twist our arms, we'll get drunk and record a podcast about it.
Yeah, there we go. But no, today we have on Matt, who is the race director for the IPA 10K, which is a part race, part beer mile, part brew fest in just north of San Francisco. And it is coming up on the magical date of 420. And we learn all about the event as well as get some insights into what it's like to be a race director, which is very interesting from someone who's been doing it for like 30 years almost, race directing, putting on events. I don't know. That's wild. It seems to me, from my perspective, like a pretty high anxiety, high stress job.
Like literally doing it for like one big event and having like just imagining doing that multiple times per year is fucking crazy.
Yeah. Doing it like we did it for the Beer Mile World Classic, but that wasn't like our... That wasn't like do or die in terms of, I mean, we treated it like it was do or die, but it wasn't do or die in terms of like, that's our livelihood and our job. Right. And we like, we're employing people and we need to make sure that they get paid and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, that was one event, you know, one time versus, you know, many, many events at the same time all the time. So yeah. And just knowing like the week leading into event, just like how much work, like the last minute stuff that you can't like do ahead of time, like just the last minute, like,
and then you watch the clouds come in and you're like, fuck.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's going to lightning today. Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
All that year's work for some lightning. Yes. So yeah, I thought it was interesting to hear more about, his progression, hearing how he thinks about putting on events, putting on more than races, like true events, like making them experiences, which is pretty sweet. So, and I am going to be out at his race this year, as is Corey Belmore, a lot of the other beer milers, and I don't know, it makes a good destination race. So I'd recommend
I got so much FOMO.
I know you, well, you have other important 420 things to do that day.
Yeah. So. I mean, we'll be celebrating.
You'll be celebrating, something else. With something else instead of beers and races, it's bachelor parties and, you know, other drugs that are legal.
Yeah, there will be some athletic endeavors, I'm sure.
on that bachelor party, will it be more what do you think? It'll be more cannabis or more alcohol?
I would think more cannabis.
Interesting. Yeah.
Because I feel like all the weed consumers that I know that are like getting into, they're not like old by any means, but they're, you know, like late 20s.
The hangovers hurt a lot worse now. Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be like weed consumption becomes so much more incentivized to avoid the hangover. I feel like we'll probably have one big night of boozing and then be like, okay.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. The 3-day benders get impossible as you get up around closer to 30 years old.
Like, I'm not even 28 yet. My body is like, your time is limited for 3 days.
You've had a decade of benders. Time to cut that shit out.
A lot of mileage on my liver.
Oh man. Yeah. Well, that'll be fun. Well, you'll be missed at the IPA 10K, but I'll live stream from our Instagram account. Don't worry.
Hey, I mean, they do get good clips and photos every year, so that'll be fun.
It looks awesome. It looks like a good time. It's going to be a long day after that race of, you know, Brewfest post race and trying to control myself, but we'll see how things go at that point. It'll also be interesting to see how fast I can even run at that point. I probably should get my ass, you know, back in gear a little bit racing.
Oh, but dude, I'm on day 3 of running post bronchitis, and wow. It's I was not in fantastic shape just because I've been pretty busy with life and interviewing and whatnot. And to go like 2 weeks and not have my lungs fully functional right now, I'm running like, I can't remember a time in my life where I struggled to run 3 miles, except like right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sickness will do it.
It's kind of fun though. I don't know how you like view now like getting back into like peak shape, but I see it as kind of fun.
I agree. I think the journey, especially when you're like, okay, like I really am out of shape and suck, like the journey from there to, you know, like a month later being like, okay, I can run like 8 miles fine again, you know, like that does feel pretty good.
Cause it comes back really quick. And then you get to the point where you're like, oh man, now I'm in the valley of like, well, I get these incremental, you know, increases in my performances, if that.
Definitely. I feel like the runner's high, endorphins, dopamine, like it hits hard again, even just doing like your first 3 mile after it's been a while.
Oh,
like
yeah.
It hits, you're like, oh shit, I forgot how running, how good running feels.
My sleep has been so much.
And then your sleep's better too. Like, yeah. Yeah.
You can bitch and whine about not running fast or far, but it's still kind of fun.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, what else? We should probably just give a quick update on the Beer Mile film too for everyone out there.
What V are we on? V16? 18? 16.
I think we had V16, but I think we're probably past that version at this point. You know, the team is cranking on the versions. It's looking good. It's
fun
because
it's always like, maybe not the first cut, but like even like V10, you're like, okay, like this is pretty close to what it's going to be. And then you get to be like two versions after that and you're like, oh shit, like, well, this is going to be what it's going to be. And then
it's way better. It's way better. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, okay, this is basically what we're releasing. This is really good. So I'm like, oh man, like it's going to get even better. That's dope.
It is crazy how little of a change, you know, I guess, I don't know how you measure change, but like how little of a change can make a huge impact on the film. Like, just like, I don't know, you're watching something and every clip is just dragging on like a little too long, a little too long, a little too long. And you're like, oh, this kind of sucks. And then all you do is just like, I don't know,
tighten it up a little bit.
You're like, damn, this is professional. Like, this is good shit. It's all the little things like that, that like once you have the kind of story laid out, it's all those little, or just like, oh, switch that line before that line. Like those little things make a huge difference.
Like rather than taking this full shot of somebody talking, like here's some extra B-roll you put over it. Like,
yes. I'm like, okay, that's what I watch on Netflix every day. That's the type of quality. Like I'm actually seeing that quality now. Like this is sick. Yeah,
it is. It is just kind of like a wild concept. I feel like I need a countdown app on my phone to get to the 13th.
Yeah, I am excited for that. That's the hard part. It's like there's like countdowns to multiple things. So on April 13th, yeah. Anyone in for people in Chicago, there's a watch party on April 13th. Then on April 20th for this IPA 10K, anybody who's racing the IPA 10K gets to go to a screening of it and watch it. And then on April 27th, the next weekend, we're going to do a virtual watch party for our Kickstarter backers. And then we don't know after that, basically, yeah. Because then it just boils down to what film festivals we can get into and what their restrictions are on whether we can make the film public ahead of time or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, so I feel like
I don't know when it's going to be public, I guess. That kind of sucks to say that answer, but we just don't know at this point.
It's going to be so, I feel like it's going to be wild to have the debut the 13th and even like the 20th, I think will be really fun too, to just get like kind of a different crowd. Kind of the same crowd, but slightly different.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, if and when we get into film festivals, like requesting PTO from work and being like, oh yeah, I gotta go to this thing.
Oh yeah, that's true. Cause we were even saying some international ones. It's like, damn, do I really, like, I'm going to have to go to like France or whatever.
Cause you know, if we get into one,
oh, you have to go
international one. It's like, fuck it. Yeah. Well, this is like a once in a lifetime.
I ain't producing a film every year. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, maybe I am. I don't know. I don't have any other ideas myself, but if anyone out there has films you're working on and I don't know, I can't provide much value, but like I'll join the journey. Sure.
I'll come on for the vibes, you know.
I'll come on vibes. For the vibes. Yes, yes, yes. So yeah, that's where we're at with the film. Looking dope. We'll have more on that.
Info, news, or things to plug.
Last things to plug. I guess we never do a good job of plugging, you know, sponsors. Maybe we should do that. If you need new sunglasses, it is spring. It's spring break season. Knockaround sunglasses. Go to knockaround.com and use code Viva La Beer Mile, all one word. Viva La Beer Mile. They changed the code because people were using it hella, as expected. So we just got to make sure you're still listening. It's Viva La Beer Mile. and then if you want to try some electrolyte infused coffee, longgraincoffee.com/free to try it for free.
Hopefully,
I don't know if I have anything else to plug.
Hopefully, you know, iOS 16 and 17 work by the time this podcast releases.
Hopefully. No one's going to know what that joke is, and that's okay. Hopefully no one's going to know what that joke
is.
All right. I think that does it. I think we can get into this conversation with Matt about race directing and the IPA 10K.
Let's do it.
Welcome to the podcast, Matt. And I think maybe a good place to start would be, how about you introduce yourself? Tell the people who you are and what you're about.
This is Matt Dockstetter. I am the producer. My company, A Good Run, used to be Destination Races, but we're A Good Run now. We produce the IPA 10K Brewfest and Beer Mile. So I also serve as the event director and, run the company. So we used to put on Wine Country Half Marathons series. We had quite a few of those. But I saw all the things that were happening in the craft brew industry. So we kind of gravitated. I sold off a bunch of my other races. And so, yeah, now I'm a beer guy.
Well, we're not going to hate on that. We love that approach. So how did you even get started in race directing and event producing? How did that come to be?
Back in the mid 90s, going back a ways, I mean, I had worked a little bit, you know, coming out of college and everything. I had a lot of different, you know, a few different jobs, but kind of all paths I knew were going to lead me into, you know, sports marketing, event production, that some kind of combination or one of those jobs. And eventually I went to work for a company called Golden Gate Productions, and I became their event director. And we had different events. I mean, we had skiing and some other things, but Escape from Alcatraz Triathlon was one of our events, televised event, very, very well-known triathlon in San Francisco, swimming from Alcatraz and running around. And I got, kind of involved in the tri community. So by putting on that event and recruited a bunch of world-class athletes and kind of changed the course for that event back in the mid 90s and did that for a couple years. then they sold, had a bunch of layoffs and everything. So I kind of went back out on my own, but I did some consulting for, I did a fundraiser for the Bay Area Sports Organizing Committee, which was trying to get the Olympics to the Bay Area back in, well, this was 2002. It would have been for the 2012 Olympics. So I did some work with them and, you know, put on a couple events, and I got involved with an event producer with the half marathon out here in the Bay Area. And so I kind of got involved, you know, a little more into the running scene and half marathons. But I started my own race, which was the Napa to Sonoma Wine Country Half Marathon back in 2004. So that became a real popular race worldwide. I mean, we were selling out. 1 year we sold out 20 minutes. It was crazy. So I said, well, I think I'm on to something here. So the whole concept was, you know, which would carry it over to the IPA 10K now. It was, you know, so many races back then, the races that I did and, you know, was a part of, you know, had you finished the race, you know, there'd be some awards, you get your apple or banana or water, granola bar, whatever it was. And, you know, you might hang out for half an hour and say hi to some people, wait for somebody to finish. And then it was pretty much up. All right, well, I guess we'll head home and, you know, go take a shower, we'll take a nap, whatever, you know, whatever you do after a race at, you know, 9 in the morning or whatever time you finish. So seemed like there was something missing there. I think those are about the times that rock and roll marathons, you know, started up and, you know, the whole party thing that started to come about. But I really saw a place where you would have, you know, the race and have it somewhere finish somewhere where you had kind of a, you know, potential for a festival, a festive environment, a cool place where people would want to hang out, you know, and they could wander around and go to shops and restaurants and that kind of thing as well, you know, have music and keep people there. So that was the whole concept for the Wine Country Half Marathon series, and the Napa Sonoma in particular, was to have this wine festival in Sonoma Plaza after the race. So people would hang out and, you know, the majority of people did, and, you know, would get a wine glass, a little tasting wine glass, and would have 35 wineries there. So it was pretty fun. And then we just expanded that to 8 cities in North America. I even had one, you know, up in Canada, but all in really beautiful locations. I mean, really scenic courses where you're running past, you know, the vineyards and the wineries, you know, that ended up pouring at the festival. So it was kind of cool because they'd say, oh, I saw your winery out on the course, that kind of thing. Yeah. So anyway, so I've carried that into the brewing, you know, and so I saw a potential for the craft brewing, you know, was really happening, especially in Northern California with all the IPAs that we have out of here. I'm sure you're familiar with, you know, mm-hmm. some of those brands, Lagunitas and Russian River and so forth. So definitely saw, saw an opening to do something like that here. So it's, it's been a lot of fun getting to know, you know, the breweries and, you know, putting the whole event together. Well, you know, obviously, no, I mean, John Markell comes into this equation quite a bit, as you probably know, the story, you know, behind that was, you know, with the West Valley Track Club, right?
Yeah, right.
Kevin, who was my operations manager at the time, you know, knew John had run with those guys and said, hey, I know these guys that they put on this beer mile, you know, world championship thing. And it's kind of in its early stages now, but it's pretty cool. And I thought, well, you know, we should definitely add that to our event because I knew I wanted to have a,
definitely,
you know, beer run. So anyway, that was the connection there. So John obviously brought us the beer milers that first year, which was back in, that was in 2017 was the first one.
Okay.
But yeah. you know, as all good things take quite a while to put together. So you've got to find
absolutely. Absolutely. Right? No, I love spot on with how you design the events to be more of an experience than just the race itself. I mean, that's clearly what people want. I mean, so many people, all of the people on my club team, et cetera, like that's what it's all about is like, part of the fun of racing is getting to travel to wherever the race is and have a unique experience and do something different.
I'm curious how you vetted like year one going into it, like who do you pitch the idea to? Cause like nowadays, if you kind of mention like, oh yeah, after the race, we're going to go like there's a happy hour at, you know, the park that's, and it's connected to the race. That's like a pretty common thing to do today, but back then it wasn't. a concept. So how did you like vet that or pitch that to other people and get to know that there was some momentum behind it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd seen the success obviously with the Wine Country Half Marathon. So I knew that the concept was solid and I knew how to go out and recruit wineries. And I didn't see any reason why I couldn't go out and recruit breweries. But really, you know, guys, the key, I mean, you know, the venue is such a key element to this race. I mean, you know, things just have to fit. It's like, you know, either it does or it doesn't work. And I, you know, we've all been in races where it was a little, you know, layout was odd or the course was weird or whatever, you know, so it doesn't always work. But I had heard about this place called the Barlow in Sebastopol, which is just outside of Santa Rosa, being developed. And I actually I was sitting at a coffee shop one time and I was eavesdropping and looking at these plans and they were laying out this layout of this place called the Barlow. And I said, that looks pretty cool. You know, where's that going to be? And they told me, and he said, yeah, it's in development now and it should be done in, you know, a couple, 3 years, whatever. So, you know, that was quite a few years ago, but I kept an eye on it. And then when I went and looked at it, you know, and I thought, wow, just need to get a course from here. But that's the really cool thing about the Barlow is we have multiple distances. We've got, and we even added a half marathon this year, but we've got the 10K, obviously that's the flagship event. Well, that and the beer mile, but you know, we had a 3K just kind of for family and for fun and for dogs. People run with this wagging tail division with the dogs and everything. But so yeah, the Barlow was it. I said, this place is perfect, you know, and the course is beautiful and we can have everything start and finish right here on the main drag. There's room for spectators. It's a natural built-in band stage. There's three breweries and two wineries and a bunch of restaurants and shops right here that people can spill out into. So I could just tell, you know, I kind of have done enough of these and I kind of have that broader picture vision thing. That's what I do pretty well, you know, and I just said, oh, I can envision this and I can see where the course would go from here. So it was a matter of selling them on it, you know, but right. They were young and hungry. They wanted, like, why don't we want all these people to come to the Barlow and get all this exposure you're going to give us? So they were no dummies. But I, you know, my thinking was, okay, I'm going to give you guys this and this and this. And I probably gave them more than I had to, but I was desperate to find the venue and have them say yes. So we've had a pretty good relationship, you know, over the past 7 years, but that's the start of it is getting the venue. But then, as you all know, permits, you know,
yes. Yep. Yep.
Permits, you know, law enforcement, all of that goes with it. This year, with this adding of the half marathon, believe it or not, we have 7 different permits agencies we have to go through to get this race done.
Nuts. You know, nuts. Our first taste of that was doing the Beer Mile World Classic this year. And that was easy relative because it was on private property, one track, and still the number of permits with the city to get and putting forth your security plan and like all this stuff, even though it's still on private property, was just, I don't know. I guess I didn't expect that going in as a complete novice. So yeah, when you start talking about public property in a downtown and a road race that actually is going, you know, through all the streets and going that far. Yeah. That's, I can only imagine the hoops you have to jump through for something like that.
Yeah. My least favorite part of the job, but you know, you have to do it and you have to pay the permit fees and you got to make sure everything's filled out just right. And you got to have all the proper insurance, especially with an event like this. So, you know, we start putting that stuff together, you know, I mean, the marketing is year round now,
mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm.
But then the permitting process is really, you know, we start about 5 or 6 months out just because we know how long paperwork takes and, you know, all that kind of stuff and getting signatures from everybody. So it's quite tedious. I push that off to Chris now as much as I can. My guy, Chris Terry. So, but we're getting through. I think we've got them all signed except for, you know, the county, the big one, but that they typically take a little longer anyway, but we haven't had any issues with this race. Sebastopol's actually been a pretty good town to work with, you know, for the most part, everybody's pretty open. And I think they're pretty intrigued by the having this thing, you know, in their town. It's like,
definitely
they enjoy watching it. I mean, and obviously the beer mile is a big part of, you know, the whole draw and,
you know, the uniqueness of the event and all that. So once they get over the fact that, yes, there are going to be some people throwing up into garbage pails and buckets, you know, on your street, but, you know, we'll keep it. It's just beer foam, really. So, you know, but once they get over the initial shock of all that, you know, they're good. So.
Yeah. Yeah. How many people were part of the inaugural event versus like how many people do you expect to be out this year for it?
Well, including, well, total people, because, you know, we have the, really four different distances. And then you've got the Brewfest that we sell, you know, separately as well.
Right, right. Just total number of people. Total,
yeah. So, and then you've got spectate, you know, you've got people that just come to watch because we don't charge an admission fee. We don't really want to control the, you know, you can't close off a public place like the Barlow, right? So people can just come and watch, you know, obviously you're going to have more fun if you're hanging out in the Brewfest. But yeah, the first year, I think we had it was a little over, it was probably somewhere between 1,200, 1,500, somewhere in there. Wow. I think the first one. So we came out of
year
the
one,
gates.
That's pretty damn good.
It's a solid year one. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had a database from all my other events of, you know,
that's true.
People, granted, they came from all over, but, you know, so we had to hit, but you know, the interesting thing in the wine races was, you know, it's 70% female. But still partly because of that, you know, we skewed more towards the female side on the wine country races, but we're still slightly more female than male, even for the
beer race. What's the Venn diagram between like runners who are drinkers and drinkers who are like, I can do a 3K?
Well, that's why we had the 3K, because
exactly why
they want to feel like they did something, like I'm a runner, I got a bib, you know, but they did 1.8 miles, but you know, that's great. They run with their dogs or they bring their family out and they all do it together. They got baby strollers. I mean, you see it all out there, and it's helped grow the race. So to finish, you know, your question, I think, well, we had a little bit of a problem here. You know, we got started in 2017, 18 was pretty good. You know, each year the numbers went up a little bit, not much, but you know, a little bit, but then of course, you know, 2020, we
didn't have a reset. Yeah.
Reset, yep. 21, we held it, but it was in, we had a virtual, and then we had a later in the year version in September, because we're always in, you know, April. Mm-hmm. But we had one in September that did okay. I think we only had about 900 runners, so we probably had, you know, but each, you know, if you have 1,000 runners, you're going to have another 1,000. You're really looking at 2,000 people.
Right,
because
right.
Between the beer festival and the spectators. So this year we're tracking pretty good. We're definitely up on registration. It'll be our highest year ever. So awesome. I think you're going to be close to 2000 runner. Well, or probably about, I don't know, I'm guessing somewhere between 1500 and 2000 runners. And then you can add another 1,000 on top of that. So there's going to be 3000 people out there.
That's amazing. Yeah. Seems like this kind of in this past year, finally, like events really are back and people are actually like full capacity going to events again, maybe even like a little bit of an itch to go to more events than they otherwise would have. At least that's, I don't know. It seems like a lot of the races around here are back to like selling out really quickly and all of that sort of stuff. So it's been long overdue coming out to the race. So I'm very excited to actually witness it in person for the first time. So.
Yes, we are very excited to have you, Chris. It's especially with the Beer Mile movie, you know, coming out.
Yes.
We're trying to get a few more of the top women and guys. I have a call into John, but we definitely want to get that field filled, you know, so we have a good full men's and women's seat. So we have other divisions too. So just so since we're on that, you know, there's an open two-person beer mile relay. So that's where you get the people that think they can do it, or some actually have and are pretty good. In fact, we've even had last year, we had two people. We had a couple empty spots in the men's, you know, opened or in the pro division or elite division. So we pulled some guy who was really good in the open division. He said, yeah, I'll go up against him. You know, of course, that means
You're going again with four more beers. So he held up. He was actually really fast. He held up, you know, he slowed a little bit after he got to about the third or fourth lap, because actually that was his, what, seventh and eighth
laps. Oh, man. That's impressive.
And beer. So that was pretty I was very impressed with that guy. In fact, I got to reach out to him and make sure we get him back, because he was somewhere in the sixes, you know, having done it twice. So, jeez. And the winner of the 10K got real excited about doing it, but he was a fast runner, but he didn't have the beer chugging thing.
Yep.
But you know what I love about it is everybody's out there. The other athletes, you know, you guys, you know, we're out there cheering him, Garrett, and the guys were all cheering him on and helping him, you know, get through the finish. And the crowd was, you know, he got the biggest ovation of anybody, you know, even though he was by far dead last, you know. Right. That's what I love about this event is everybody gets supported, you know. There isn't a whole lot of, you know, shaming on anybody, you know. Everybody's pretty supportive of everybody. And so that's the open division. So you'll see all kinds of stuff out there. You can be co-ed two persons. It could be, you know, a couple of gals, a couple of guys, whatever. And they have the choice of how they want to configure, you know, how they want to go. If they want to go rotate.
Back to back, sure.
Go each, every other one. You know, there's different strategies involved. So we do that. We run that first. We used to start off with, you know, with the women's and men's, and, you know, elites. But now we have this open division. So we kind of get the crowd warmed up with that. And that's really fun. And then we go into the men's and women's, and we have one heat, you know, for men, one, hopefully one for women with a full field. Yeah. This year we'll have the women and the men separately. Couple of years we didn't have, you know, real strong women. We'd just mix them in with the guys, but, so we'll have those. And then we finish with have you heard about the brewery relay, the challenge? So the breweries compete against each other.
I know about it, but tell us about it. For the listeners.
Well, so that's, we said, well, heck, these breweries, you know, they need to get teams together and make it fun. We need to have something that's like, cause it's kind of a different experience, obviously watching people running doing a 5 or 6 mile beer mile versus, you know, the relay. But we knew that breweries weren't going to, you know, you're going to have four people. So all you have to do is one lap. But then one of the owners of Crooked Goat Brewing, has become a good friend of mine. Those guys are right there at the start finish line. But he said, well, make them finish, have another beer at the finish, you know, because the easy part's chugging it before you run. Right.
Right.
Our part, when you're short on breath and, you know, and everything. So we said, yeah, that's a pretty good idea. So, but the breweries get together and we'll get probably about, you know, 6 or 8 breweries to compete. And we have a perpetual trophy that they get, you know, that we're engraving, and you get to keep at the brewery for a year and show it off. They compete against each other, and they have to, everybody goes out and get your starter, and he has to drink a beer, run the quarter mile lap. And then as he finishes, he has to finish his beer, and your next relay person has to drink a beer too, but they both have to finish before the guy can go. So even if the first guy, you know, is finished with his beer, or the guy that's waiting is usually done with his beer first, and the one who just finished is trying to get it down. And what's kind of cool is, you know, at the end of it, the race isn't over when the first person crosses the finish line. You've got to get that last beer down.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. That levels it out a lot, or makes it a lot more interesting for sure. Cause the first beer is always easy for pretty much anybody. The first beer is always easy, but, every beer after that gets progressively harder. So I like that approach. That's a good way to do a relay, versus the traditional way.
Yeah. I mean, every year we've had it, every year I can remember, you know, you're waiting to see who finishes the beer first to determine who the winner is. So, you know, so the judging is very important too, because you've got to make sure there's isn't much spillage, because, you know.
Right. Especially on that final beer, people might be trying to cut corners and just throw it down. So yeah.
Exactly.
No, that's fun. That's fun. I like having getting the crowd warmed up and the fluids going into the elite beer mile race. I think that'll be a nice rowdy crowd is always appreciated for a beer mile. So I love that too.
Oh, it'll be rowdy. Don't you worry about that. It'll be rowdy.
That's what the insurance policy is for.
We had another one we did in the fall over this Oktoberfest event, and didn't realize how many people wanted to do it. And all these, some people signed up that day. And I was like, no, we can't. Well, we already signed them up. I said, well, I don't know if we have room for them. So we fit them all in there. But we ran out of beers. And we're calling out, you know, the announcers calling out to the breweries going, do you guys have some more beer for the beer mile? Because they didn't bring their own, you know. So in the open division, you know, this one, and it's, this year it's sponsored by Lagunitas Brewing.
Oh, so, awesome.
Yeah. So the open division, they're going to be drinking. It's their Pilsner. It's 5.0. It's pretty light. It's a good beer.
Yeah.
Lightest one we can find, you know, so I think it'll go down pretty easy. We have some stories of, you know, hey, we got some Lagunitas beer, but it's their IPA. And we had a gal that wanted to run with the women elites and, oh man, she gave it her best effort, but she was trying to drink, and it, you know, and the beer had been sitting out for a couple hours. So,
oh
you
God,
know, it was kind of like a lukewarm Lagunitas IPA, and this gal had never done it before. Wasn't pretty.
Disaster. Yeah. Well, if anyone from the Beer Mile World Classic is listening to this, make sure you let me know, let Matt know, and get your butt out there for the race. We'll definitely try to fill that elite field up and make it a competitive one. So
yeah, for sure.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Well, you've got some competition.
Oh, I know. Whenever Corey Belmore shows up anywhere, he's always he's always a tough one to beat. Yeah, I guess you could. He's kind of undefeated. He technically has lost one time ever because he DQ'd, but he got disqualified for not like being like an ounce over. So kind of no, he won the race, but he was disqualified. So no, he is undefeated. I at least in my mind, he's undefeated.
Yeah. And you know, yeah. I think this is his fourth time out here. So, and yeah. I think he's going to run. He said that he might, you know, run the 10K, even through possibly half marathon. I don't know what he's, you know, if he's training for anything else, but he talked about running either the half or the 10K prior to, which he did run the 10K 1 year. And of course he won it. So
yeah. Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
Just showing off. Yeah. I love it. He's really earning the beers. So I commend him for that. The other thing definitely want to plug too for getting people excited to go out there is we should tell as much as we can right now, at least tell a little bit about the plan to show the Beer Mile film as part of the event too.
Yeah, well, obviously that was something. Yeah, I came to you with a while back and said, hey, the timing may just be right for out here showing it, you know, mm-hmm. and we've got a pretty good following of people with the Beer Mile out here through our event now. So, and with John and all the, you know, the San Francisco crowd. So I think we'll probably get a pretty good crowd for that on Thursday. We have an early pack pickup is what we call it, because, you know, it's hard for people, you know, that are living in, you know, down the San Francisco, the peninsula, East Bay, whatever, they're coming from all over. Pretty hard to get to the Barlow unless you're planning on spending the night in a hotel, right. You know, that race. So, you know, and so they can get early packet pickup on, I mean, at Thursday at Sports Basement in the Presidio. So we'll time it around that. I think 6:30, is it about 40 minutes?
About 40 minutes. Yep.
Yeah. So we have our packet pickup from 3:30 to 7:30 on that afternoon, evening at Sports Basement. Great spot to go because, you know, it's right there in the Presidio. You can go for a run out Chrissy Field, run to the Golden Gate Bridge, whatever, and pick up your packet and your shirt and everything. They're giving a 20% off to people at Sports Basement that day. And then you and I think Corey's going to be there as well.
Yep.
So we'll have, you know, chance for them to do a, you know, meet and greet, ask questions after the film kind of thing, interact with you guys. It'll be great. So, yeah. And I know Sports Basement's fully behind it. You know, Ian, the marketing director there, will be promoting it and be there. So, we're going to have, you know, some beers and snacks and stuff like that and should be good.
That's amazing. It's amazing. Going to be an action packed weekend. I like it. Extended weekend. So that'll be fun. That'll be fun. I'm really excited for more just general public to see it, because so far only like our closest friends and people that really actually know the Beer Mile have seen it. But it'll be fun for kind of broader people that maybe aren't as close to the Beer Mile to watch it and just see what their reaction is. See if it gets them more excited, hopefully gets them more excited about it, more interested in like, oh, I'm going to tune into that next year. I'm going to go make sure to watch the Beer Mile at the IPA 10K, like all that sort of stuff is hopefully get people a little pumped up for the event.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I don't know if I'll make the final cut, you know, as a spectator over there in the.
I was wondering, just like playing it back in my head, I do wonder, because there are a lot of cameos of like people that we know who are like, oh, hey, like so-and-so is in this. I didn't know that.
Well, I was watching it. I was watching, you know, the Elite, it's the championships. I was watching it next to, I was with probably the loudest person in the crowd. And that was Melanie Pozzle's mother.
Okay.
Melanie's from Chicago,
yes.
Right?
Yes, she is. Yeah. Her whole family was out.
She was great. She was hilarious.
Yes. Yeah. No, there's, and honestly, every version that we've seen, they've continued to add more and more B-roll in different places. And like, there's every time it comes on again, I'm like, oh wow, like that person made, like that one of my friends made the cut this time, or this person or whatever. So they're really polishing the B-roll sequences and all that sort of stuff. And like going back through all the archive of footage again, finding some of those like amazing clips and some of the best pukes and all that sort of stuff to like make sure that that's pulled into the B-roll. So yeah, I don't remember off the top of my head, but even if it wasn't in the last round, it's not done yet. it's still happening.
is the footage all from the you know, the championships, or did you have some of the other divisions in there? No, I love the Clydesdale division, by the way.
Oh, definitely. No, we definitely have clips from that. I mean, the storyline, like the championship races are definitely kind of the main storylines, but like the other big storyline in it is just the kind of the like the quirkiness, the camaraderie of the beer mile community, the fun of the community. And so yeah, there's clips from all the races in there, for sure. All of the community races, the Clydesdale race definitely has clips in there. So yeah, part of it is just not just showing the elites. It's about kind of the broader just sentiment and community behind the beer mile.
Yeah. No, that's great. I might have to borrow the Clydesdale Division One, do it out here. And Athletic Brewing, you know, they're a sponsor of our event too. Ours is
awesome.
They're presenting sponsors. So I'd love to, you know, do a celebrity version too. I don't know if we're going to, you know, have enough time. You know, we've got to get the beer mile in with a certain time frame because of all the other stuff going on. So
absolutely. You know. That was the same constraints we ran into, and we had less constraints than you do with all the other things going on. But yeah, we would have loved to have had more heats. We would, the Clydesdale was actually funny enough. We didn't even come up with that idea. We had some people just reach out to us.
We didn't come up with
that.
Yeah.
There was people starting to sign up and they're like, hey, do you have like a Clydesdale division or anything? It was like, really? Sure. Yeah. Let's have one. That sounds great. That's a really good idea. Like, let's have it. Let's have that. Yeah. Cause trying to think of more ways to have other, instead of just, you know, heat 1 through 20, like what are some other kind of ways to break it up and have like little different little mini championships within there to get people more excited. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you guys did a good job with that. I enjoyed watching the Clydesdale division. I can imagine, I just envisioned some guys, you know, he's at 195 pounds, you know, getting ready to win. You got to go into the scale. So he's like, all right, gotta go out and chug down a six pack
to get on the scale.
To make weight.
Eat a couple burgers so I can make weight.
Yep. No, we didn't force anyone to step on the scale the day of, but if that heat gets more competitive over time, we might have to do weigh-ins and make that part of the fun too.
Yeah.
So is the IPA 10K going to try to make an appearance back in Chicago? Are you going to make a run for Chicago again at any point in the future?
I don't know that Chicago would be the, you know, to make another run at it again. We are talking to other cities, you know, there are quite a few cities that are interested. And so, I think my decision was to concentrate on this one and make it the best one yet this year and make sure and prove that we were all past the whole COVID thing. And, you know, races were back and registrations were up and, you know, fortunately it's playing out that way. So I think we have a good story to go pitch to other cities now, you know, and get
right
more excited about being a host of an event like this, because, you know, it can be a marquee event. I mean, it's such a unique event with, you know, the different distances and the Brewfest and, you know, the beer mile and all the stuff we do and do around it, you know, to make it, you know, a long weekend type of thing,
you know, do some cool stuff like we're doing at the Sports Basement on Thursday. And
definitely, definitely.
Welcome reception on Friday and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of potential, but, you know, I want to make sure I go in with all of, yeah, with full ammunition this time when I sit down and meet with the cities. So, but I've got a few others in mind that, you know, a few other so-called beer mecca cities.
From like the inaugural event, how long do you feel like it took you to get like a compelling package to go to a city and say, here's what I want to do. Here's, you know, kind of what I've done in the past and like your benefit for putting it on.
Yeah. I mean, I've always said it's, you know, you have to, it's kind of a, the process of, yeah, siting, that's where you want to have it. And then you've got to do your site visits and meeting with everybody. And you might even get some funding if you're, you know, fortunate. That's about a year process, you know, to do that before you can actually say I'm having, you know, the event, setting a date, you know, and finding the right date, all of that. You know, it's tricky because there's just, as you know, there's so many things going on, especially in a bustling city like Chicago or in Northern California. How many events are every weekend? You can't be on the same weekend as some other big, you know, huge sailing regatta in the Bay or, you know, the Grand Fondo or, you know, list goes on and on and on.
Right.
So, you know, finding the right date is critical. But once you find that date, you know, you want to start marketing almost a year out. I mean, we can do it in less, but you're going to have better success the farther out you are. And, you know, building up those relationships to begin with, you know, whether it's the running retailers and the local running clubs and the breweries and the brewery association, there's a lot of organizations that you want to partner with to ensure, you know, enough success that you're not going to lose a bunch of money the first year.
What would you say if someone is interested in becoming a race director themselves today, what advice would you give them? Would you tell them to run away and don't do it? Or would you tell them to do it?
You don't just decide you want to be one. You have it in you and you know you're that kind of person that can do it.
Or you don't.
You know, like these people that say, I'm going to become a race director. Either, you know, well, yeah. I mean, obviously you work on other races, whether it's starting with volunteering or, you know, you go to work in some operations capacity with the race or something, you know, and you learn the ropes, but there's some inherent things that you need to have before you even get into it or else have a tough go. And you better have a lot of patience and you know how to handle crisis situations, you know.
Yes.
Because you're going to come across them. If you have a long career like I have in race directing, you're going to have situations.
Absolutely.
What drew you to doing it in the first place? And then what has kept you there?
Well, I mean, back to my point about either you do or you don't, I was always the kid organizing the baseball games or the hockey, you know, street hockey games, because I live in California, or, mm-hmm. you know, college, you know, social director, you know, always organizing stuff, group trips, you know, reunions, that kind of thing. That's just, you know, what I do, what I've always enjoyed doing. And then, you know, when you get into it on a professional level, obviously it's really rewarding on a lot of different levels. It depends on what, you know, really drives you. But for me, it was, you know, it was bringing an idea to fruition. You know, it's having that, seeing it, I could kind of see what I wanted before. And I said, would this be something that I would want to do, you know, as a runner, as a, you know, as a person who likes to have fun and celebrate, you know, and enjoys good wine and good beer. I mean, what would I want to, you know? And then I put it together based on that. You know, and then, but I love, you know, it's nice to be able to raise money for nonprofit organizations. We've worked with so many different partners. You know, obviously some you can raise a lot more than others, but, you know, and working with the volunteer groups, but most of all, just, you know, seeing the people come across that finish line and then hanging out a couple hours in the brew fest and then, you know, cheering at the beer mile. And I mean, these people are having a great time and yeah. We don't just, you know, you can see it in their faces. You can hear they come up to you. And I mean, having people, you know, tons of people coming up afterwards, you know, saying, hey, thanks so much for putting it on. This was just awesome. You know, thank you so much. I mean,
that's really rewarding. And then when you read the comments and the reviews and everything, and people talk about the vibe and everybody's so supportive, and it's just, you know, and let's face it, in this, you know, day and age and time where there's just a lot of crap going on and a lot of negativity, I mean, you know, this is kind of like an oasis, you know, for a day or a weekend. It's just a cool place where everybody gets along and has a good time and supports each other and competes, you know, but then, you know, I mean, you make friends. I mean, I've seen so many people make lifelong friends by meeting at races, you know, and we give them that extra opportunity because of our festival and the fact that people are hanging out and all the pub runs that we do in advance. We have, you know, Chris Terry works for me. He's put together a ton of, you know, these pub runs, and we had, you know, 50 people the other, just last week, you know, at a pub run in Petaluma nearby, and working with Healdsburg Running Company and Petaluma Running Company. And then we took over the whole bar and restaurant afterwards. And, you know, I get to know these people year after year, and it's a really cool lifestyle.
Definitely. I love it. That's probably a good kind of words of wisdom piece to end on there. So I like love it. That. Where should everyone go to get signed up, and where should they go to, you know, follow along with updates for the IPA 10K?
Yeah, well, real easy. IPA10K.com.
Nice and easy. When we put this out, we'll post, you know, links. There will be a link in the description of the podcast too for people to click on. So,
and follow us on, yeah, of course, social media. We're very active, you know, put it on IPA10K.com, Instagram, Facebook. We'll be there. And you know, we have quite a bit of really cool video footage and stuff, so we may, you know, expand on that. But a lot of great photos and memories, and we're really looking forward to this year, I'll tell you. So, oh, by the way, it's really easy to remember the date. We didn't talk about
that. Yes, it is.
420, right?
Nice. Nice.
And just to throw this out there as a little bonus for those people, you know, those 420ers out there, the originators of 420, the whole thing that came about from my high school in San Rafael, and I'm friends with these guys. Some of them are going to be at the event. The original 420 boys are going to be at the event at the Lagunitas Lounge, the Waldo Lounge. Lagunitas Brewing brews a beer based on that whole 420 story, which you can Google. It's all over the internet, I'm sure. But yeah, the boys are gonna be there, and we're gonna have them hanging out in the lounge and watching the beer mall competition. So you'll get to meet them.
That's wild. Well, if there weren't already enough good reasons to come out to the event, there's icing on the cake.
Something to tell your grandkids.
My FOMO is at 420 boys.
We're not. No, they're fun guys. Man. They are fun
awesome.
Guys.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, really appreciate you coming on. And we look forward to the event and sharing updates and sharing pictures and videos from the event too, with all the viewers. They're going to love it.
All right. Well, enjoy being on with you guys, and looking forward to seeing you soon, and we'll be in touch.